Good evening. Thanks for staying so late. We'll take some questions.
Chad, without the unwrapped engineering, you moved out just trying to accumulate as many bodies as possible.
I'm sorry?
Without the ability to sign undrafted tonight, you move down and take these more picks just to get as many bodies as you can?
No, we had a few select players kind of targeted, maybe groups of players that we felt like we moved a couple of times where it was the same picks, but it moved us maybe back with one pick and up with another pick, and because we were kind of looking at a couple of guys we felt might go right about that spot. I think we just, net, I think maybe we just gained one pick today.
Why do you need all these tight ends?
Well, we were literally going with value today, what we thought was good football players. In both our cases, we think they'll have a good chance to come in and compete and play, and Mike likes a lot of tight ends.
And just overall, be happy with the players in that?
I'm pretty pleased. I thought it went very well. And today, you never know, because the last day is every team is looking for different things, and so you never know how it's going to go. But I thought it went pretty well.
Ted, normally right now you're up there and the guys are working the phones and all that. What do you do now that you can't do that?
Nothing. You can't not in terms of doing our job, I mean, other than clean up and make sure we don't spill stuff on tables and things like that. But it's different. It's completely different than it's ever been.
Is the draft more challenging for you, Ted, considering the climate with the lockout and everything that's going on outside of the game? Is this a more challenging 3 days for you?
I don't think so. We tried as best we could to go about business as usual, try to conduct the draft, and try to stay with quality and not reach too much, and we felt like we did pretty good in terms of discipline in that area.
Ted, were there any situations where if you came to your spot and there was a guy there who was much higher rated than what you had anticipated, being at that spot, did that occur at all?
Well, especially in the last day, there's always guys that maybe you had a little bit higher that are still there, and it's kind of surprising they're still there. I'm sure that happens.
Anybody in particular who was?
I would never. I would never divulge that.
What intrigued you about Lawrence Guy?
He's a big man that can run really fast. He's a junior coming out early. I think he's still developing. We had our defensive staff and Mike Turgovich do a lot of study work on him. And we think there's a lot of things he can add to our defense, our group.
So when you have a player who deals with what he's dealing with in terms of ADHD and dyslexia and stuff, do your coaches have to coach him a little bit differently? Does he have to learn the defense a little bit differently?
Are you talking about Lawrence?
Yeah, about Guy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics, but sure, we look into things like that.
Where on the line do you see him playing?
I don't know. I'll leave that to the coaches.
Where do you project Brian Taylor to play?
Tight end, special teams, like he did at North Carolina. He was predominantly, he played a little bit linebacker early in his career. He was their top special teams player for 3 years, including this year. And because of some injuries to other tight ends, he got a chance to play a lot of tight end. We brought him for a visit. He's a very articulate young man, very driven. We think he's got a chance.
Any possibility of fullback?
We're not looking at him as fullback now, but you never know about our bunch. We switch guys around all the time.
Yeah, along those lines, versatility has been mentioned with a lot of these guys. Was that conscious effort going into this draft just with the evolution of the game, or is that just who you wound up with?
I think in this case it's probably a coincidence, but you're always, through any sort of player acquisition, you're looking at versatility. Certainly we've always talked about it with our offensive line, because you only suit up seven or eight during the game, so guys have to be able to line up at different places. But that's one of the qualities we look at any prospect, regardless of position, but there's no special significance now.
Thank you.
based on the fact that you collected so many late round picks, Ted, was this an especially good draft at the back end? Was this especially deep?
We felt like we were able to get good players deep. I don't know if it was different than other years, but we felt pretty good with the guys we were able to get, and it looked that way, which is the reason we kind of moved around a little bit today.
Ted, as productive as Ricky Elmore was in the last two seasons of pass rush class, I think it's 21 and a half stats. How is he still there at that point? Is there an obvious red flag with him?
No. I don't know. He might not have run as fast as most guys because, you know, we're projecting him as an outside linebacker, but we kind of went back to the old saying of production, and we felt like it was good value at that point.
Ted, when you look back on all the teams that you've been a part of, have you been this deep on offense before, especially at the skill position?
I don't know how to answer that. I can't remember back that far. We feel like we added some guys. Now these guys have to come in and prove they can stand along the men that we have on this team. But we felt like we've added value, a core, and competition to our team today.
Ted, when the lockout was looking for that brief period, did you have any extra contact with Derek Sherrod and talk to him, maybe get materials, playbook, or anything like that into his hands while maybe you were able to do that?
Well, we didn't bring him in. He was in Columbus, Mississippi, not very far from where all the tornadoes and stuff went on. He was going to have to catch like four planes to get in here, so we decided we wouldn't. I'm sure our coaches and things talked to him a lot about during that period about, you know, what we expect, football and things like that. Now, I doubt if we sent him a playbook.
And what did you like about DJ Williams? And this is the fact that he overcame so much. Does that factor into what you thought of him?
It didn't. It's part of the character makeup that we do with all the players. He's certainly a remarkable kid. He is, as far as a football player, he's an outstanding pass catcher and very, very good with the ball after the catch. He has the versatility and the size that we like in terms of moving him around, being kind of an H-back, doing different things. And he did that a lot. He'd line up outside some at Arkansas, and we think he's got a chance to come in and be a pretty good guy with a pretty good group.
Was there much thought to adding a quarterback?
I don't know. They got ran pretty fast. I mean, if one of value would have been there when at the right time, we would have done that.
Ted, what jumped out to you about Hulse?
Very good athlete, really gifted. His pro day was a very good exhibition of athleticism. Played for a team that didn't win very many games and quite frankly wasn't very competitive in games. We felt like he showed everything in those games. To think that he has the ability to play corner in the NFL. Got good reports from the people that he worked with there at New Mexico State and his coaching staff, and we felt like he's got a chance.
What did you like so much about DJ Smith? He's got a hit guy, or because I know he's smaller, shorter.
He's shorter. He's not smaller. He's shorter. But he's got good arm length, and he's a very, very good football player, and that's kind of the basis for our pick with him, especially. Was who's a really good football player, and he is. I'm not so sure. I may be wrong, but he may be the most productive tackler in the history of college football or something like that. He's got over 500-and-something tackles.
When you worked out Reed and Elmore in Arizona, I'm assuming Elmore held his own. I mean, he worked out favorably relative to Reed.
Sure, I wasn't there, but I've seen the video of it. Sure.
Ted, I asked you a little bit about chemistry and character yesterday. I just want to go back to that. Because you look at the guys you picked, and they all—I mean, we don't know them very well at this point—but they come across in that way. Are you willing to take character risks, or at this point, has that become such a significant thing for you that you really would have to think long and hard to take a guy that maybe is a little questionable in that department?
Well, I mean, And like I've said before, I may have said this yesterday, everybody makes mistakes. We try to, we really consciously care about who comes into our locker room. We think one person can affect an entire team. At the same time, we acknowledge that the kids and young men growing up, and especially college kids, can make mistakes. We try to weed out the bad guys and try to keep the good guys, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the good guy is squeaky clean.
I'm just wondering where that philosophy for you starts. I mean, I'm sure that not every guy on your Oilers teams was a great guy. Where did you decide that was so important to you?
Well, I think it's part of anybody's makeup in this business, because it's easier to deal as long as you're dealing with good people. Now, you know, we have people on our team that make mistakes. I don't necessarily think they're bad guys, but they've stubbed their toe from time to time. And we're not putting ourselves up in a position where we know more than other teams. All the teams are the same. We're all trying to get good people and good football players.
You've been so active in undrafted free agency over the years. I realize you can't do it now, but if you got the, you know, you obviously have the full roster, and then there's all the injured guys and the practice squad guys, you can only take 80 to camp. Are you just going to have to almost sit it out this year, or are you going to have to clear spots elsewhere to add a few guys?
There's still spots on our roster to add players, sure.
Ted, when you don't know the rules of free agency, and you don't really know, you know, who you're going to lose and who you're not. At this point, you usually do when you're going into the draft. Does that affect the way you looked at the draft at all?
It didn't. Like I said, I think we all talked about this, the uncertainty of what may or may not happen and what the rules might be. There was no way to predict that, so we just felt like we'd go about our business like we always go about our business and adjust as we need to adjust going forward. It's very disconcerting for a person like me, because I like a piece of paper in front of me that says these are the rules, now go get them, compete just like everybody else. And I imagine all 31 other teams are thinking the same thing. It's confusing and it's exacerbating, but it is what it is. You know, we're all in it the same way.
You're at this point now where you can't talk to these kids any longer. How did you sign off with them, if you don't mind me asking? What were your last words or your advice or whatever?
Well, we have with the guys that we drafted, are you talking about? Yeah, well, we have a routine of, you know, Matt Klein calls them, then I talk to them, and then the coaches talk to them, and then they normally go through, mini camp's coming up then. So they went through a lot of that stuff just because things are scheduled. Now, whether they take place or not, I don't know. But at the end of it, we kind of say, now, look, this is a different situation. We're not going to have contact anymore with you. It doesn't mean we don't like you, but just kind of hang tight like everybody else, and hopefully this thing will get squared away.
And you've taken some grief over the years for your approach in free agency?
No.
Is it in any way an advantage now because of the situation that, you know, you don't use it as a major tool for how you build your football teams?
I don't know. I don't think any of this stuff that the league and the players are going through is an advantage to anybody. I don't see that as any kind of advantage.
So is it fair to say that the draft sort of may affect the way you handle free agency from here on? Normally it might not, but in terms of who you bring back, is that just a fact of life that you filled some positions and it might affect?
It's possible that if things weren't this way, that you might have done things before this point that maybe would cause you to go in a different direction in the draft. But again, because there's so much uncertainty today and yesterday and the first day, we tried to just say, let's keep it simple, stupid, and pick a good player and hope for the best.
DJ Williams is a kid who desperately needs this lockout to end. He could use financial help. Is there any means for giving him that assistance, whether it's the league or the union? The union, obviously, or the players?
I have no knowledge of that. That would be out of my realm of understanding. I don't know if there is. I don't know if there isn't, but like I say, these are unusual times.
Your roster is probably deeper than it's been. Is it going to be more difficult for these rookies to make the team?
Well, we'd like to, in a perfect world, like I've said before, this is a hard business. It's a very competitive business. We'd like it to be hard for new guys to come in and make our team, but we expect these guys to. We think all of them are very competitive, and all of them have a chance, or we wouldn't have drafted them.
Ted, where do you?
And we expect a lot of them to come in and help us win.
Ted, a lot of time and effort has been into selecting these 10 players today. What do you do tonight personally? You celebrate? Do you have a
We always have a gathering after the draft. Yes.